it doesn't.
It's great that you're gay and you're proud and you like to swing your wang around and all that jazz.
Almost live from a very cool corner of Midtown Sacramento, it's the Nate Darling Show, featuring Mel Gelbart.
You're sexy and tattooed and delicious.
And Larry Mead.
Hey guys, that's awesome. Awesome, guys. Let's go. Awesome. Let's go get some new sneakers.
Now, from one end of his cheap IKEA couch,
I am a professionally trained radio DJ.
Here's Nate.
Yes, indeed. And welcome back to another episode of The Nate Darling Show.
Woohoo. Hey, girl. The official gay greeting of 2011-2012 is, hey, girl.
Oh, that's good. Good to know. I didn't know there was an official one.
Well, it was a de facto one, but then in the newsletter this week, headquarters established that, hey, girl, is appropriate in all situations.
Okay. Excellent. With me, as always, is, of course, Larry, and Mel is here as well.
Hey, girl.
I'm here. I'm tired, but I'm here.
Well, we'll get through this. We'll make it happen. Because that's how we roll here, up in the his nest.
My booty hurts today.
I know why your booty hurts. NorCal Fisting Champion 2012, Mel Gelbart!
Can I just tell you, I went to an A's Tigers game, and pitching for the Detroit Tigers, yes. Doug Fister.
Hell yes.
Wow, I bet he never gets teased.
Especially in San Francisco.
I texted Larry or sent him a message
you
on Facebook.
You did, I giggled.
I was like, Larry, I'm at a game and Doug Fister's pitching.
Where was I when I read that? So someplace where I couldn't explain what it was. And I was just like, oh, my friend's funny. I can't really explain that.
It was at a place where Larry couldn't explain why Fister was funny. All right.
Fisting.
Hey, kids, if you want to support the show, the best way to do it is through Amazon. If you're going to shop Amazon.com anyway, head on over to the website, NateDarlingShow.com, and click the tab at the top that says Shop Amazon Through Us. It does not cost you anything extra, and it helps out the show a lot. We appreciate it. It's a great idea to shop for dads or grads.
Oh, look at you.
Or a summer birthday you got coming up, or just something for yourself to treat you to something special. You ever treat yourself to something special? You're like, I want that. And you're like, yeah, I must have it.
I do that all the time.
I do that a lot.
There you go.
Which makes gift giving difficult because if I see something, I want it. So when it gets to be around holidays or birthday times or other times where people buy me gifts, I have to not do anything.
That's unfortunate.
The nice thing is these days, anytime I want something, I just mention it and it appears. Paul is so handy.
Really?
Uh-huh. See, I got a new tote bag because I needed
it. It's cute.
Isn't it cool?
It's pretty.
It's very nice.
It's pretty like you are.
Because I was carrying all my stuff around in a store bag, like those cardboard bags with little handles. It was a Victoria's Secret bag, but it was getting all like breaking apart. And then I came home the other day and bing, bang, boom, there's a tote bag.
All right.
It's pretty hot.
So just want to start out the show talking about what happened because I mentioned last week that Zippy was not well, and it's been an ongoing issue for the past couple of weeks. And here's what happened: he took a turn for the worse last week, and Friday night I had to make the difficult decision that it was time to end the suffering because the treatment was not only was it not working. It was actually making him miserable, too. So that was...
Yeah, that's not fair.
No, it wasn't. So Friday night, I made the decision that was what had to be done. And Saturday morning, I brought him to the vet, and we took care of it.
That's always the hardest thing, but it's the right thing to do.
It is, but it's sad.
The one nice thing, and this is something that I was fortunate that I was able to do that a lot of people aren't, is because I was able to make the decision on Friday night and do it the next day, I was able to say goodbye. I mean, we spent the night together. I, you know, put him in bed, and, you know, we slept together next to each other, and, you know, it was good for me. He appreciated it, and... It was just one of those things that when you get a chance to actually say goodbye to a pet like that, it's at the moment, it's a little better. But when you go back and look back on it, it's so much better. Because I have friends who, you know, woke up in the morning and their cat had a stroke. And they brought him into the vet and they're like, what's wrong? And they didn't have the chance to do that. They didn't get that opportunity. And it's... It's a situation where that's part of life. Death is part of life, and it's a difficult thing to deal with, and you just do the best you can. It's hard with pets because they can't really tell you what's wrong. It's one of those things that's just very, very difficult. And I got home today, and I had a condolence card in my mailbox from the vet.
I love that they do that. It's so thoughtful. My dad got one the other week from their vet as well, and he was really touched.
It's very nice, and the good thing and a lot of people sent me well wishes, and I appreciate it. I am not only okay with the decision; I know it was the right thing to do, and you know, there are still sad moments where, of course, I miss my friend. But when I look at pictures of him now, I just, you know, I remember the good times. Yeah. I see stuff, I remember the good times. I remember, like, the fun stuff, the stuff that would irritate me that he would do and things like that. So here's one trick. This is kind of a funny thing. You know, if you drink a glass of milk and there's always a little bit left at the bottom of the glass of milk.
Yeah.
And here's what he would do. He would come up and he would sort of sneak his way onto the table, and he would take a front leg and just reach his paw over the edge ever so stealthily and quietly, because you would do it when you were looking away. He would stick his paw all the way down in and stick it in the milk as to get some on his paw, and then he would pull it up, and then he would do the little stealthy lick of the paw.
He was a resourceful little bugger.
Yeah, so that was, I had a glass of milk the other night, and I saw a little bit in the bottom, and I'm like, oh, okay. So that's kind of where I am right now, and I've already gone out and looked at, not replacements, I don't think that's the right word.
A rebound cat?
No.
Is that appropriate?
Yeah, that's not really even at all it, because, you know, I'm at peace with the decision. It's not like, oh, I need to get something, I need to get someone to replace him. It's like, you know, I'm here by myself. So, I mean, you guys are here, obviously, but we don't
live here.
No, you don't live here. Mm-hmm. And there are so many cats that need a good home, and I have a place for one. And so I've begun the process of finding a new little buddy.
Yay.
Is a better way of looking at it.
Could you get a monkey?
No.
They're too much work.
They're
such a cute idea.
They're so cute, though.
Why don't you get
so
a monkey?
Cute. No.
You could bring him to Mr. Fister.
I think there's a lot of pets that seem like really good ideas that are not good ideas in reality. I think a monkey is one of them. I had a roommate in college that had a hedgehog.
Oh, okay, yeah.
She had a hedgehog, but you know, there's a couple problems with having a hedgehog. One, they're pokey, so it's not exactly a snuggly pet. Two,
no.
They sleep all day because they're nocturnal. So he didn't want to be bothered during the day. And then when you're sleeping, he's up rattling around all night, making noise in his cage. I used to have rodents. It was the same thing.
Oh.
Rodents will keep you up all night, and then they don't want to be messed with during the day. They want to burrow and sleep.
Mm. It's like living with a frat guy. God.
Yeah.
It's terrible.
I love living with frat guys.
But he was adorable, but what a stupid pet. Now, Paul's had every pet. He's really an animal lover. And he's, you know, he was really, had a lot of empathy for what you went through, because he's had to see a lot of pets come and go in
mm-hmm.
his lifetime. And he's had all the crazy pets. He had a pig named Ted that he had for a long time. He's had a lot of snakes and tarantulas and all that kind of stuff, and monitor lizards. And so he's had all the crazy pets. I don't think I would have been able to date him if he had a tarantula still. Ugh.
Yeah, that might be a deal breaker for some
and
people.
And again, what a stupid pet. I mean, it sits in a cage. They hardly move. They don't do anything. They don't want to play with you.
Do you know, one year for Christmas, I really came up with the idea. This is a couple of years ago. I don't know where I found it. It was in Sky Mall online, because I'm obsessed with Sky Mall. I read it. It's the only magazine I read every time I get on a plane, because I'm always obsessed there's going to be something new in there. They had like this whole little kid section where you could buy live little animals like crabs and like things. And they were really cheap. I was going to send all my friends like 6 crabs so they could write on their wall, like, hope you enjoy your crabs. Just so I could do that.
Larry, I remember you used to be able to win them at the fair when
yeah.
I was a kid.
Oh.
Another stinky, horrible
thing,
pet.
Yeah.
Yeah,
wouldn't it be sweet, though? Enjoy your crabs, everybody.
Oh, Larry gave me crabs.
See? Think of the endless jokes that it would provide.
There, that was that. So this past weekend was Second Saturday. Did you guys do anything fun?
I did.
I did, but I didn't do Second Saturday.
That's always the best. Larry, what did you do for fun?
We had a great day. Adam and I went to do a whole bunch of stuff. I met up for breakfast with a whole bunch of people. There were like 12 gay dudes, and we went to Black Bear, Black Bear Diner, but I always call it the Big Black Bear Diner because I think that sounds better.
Or is that just after you guys get there?
It might be. It's just funny to me because it's like a bear-themed restaurant, and we were all kind of bearish-ish dudes, so it was funny to me. We saw Most Exotic Marigold Hotel, which is so amazing. I highly encourage everyone to go see it.
It looks really good.
It did incredibly well. Avengers is still kicking ass, but it was averaging like 38,000 a screen per day. Tower sold out. I've never seen Tower more crowded, ever. And they're showing it on both theaters, so it's kind of... Anyway, it's really good. It's about India. It's the best movie to me that captures India as like an outsider coming in, but it's also really funny and it's really cool. But then we walked around Second Saturday for a while and saw some really cool stuff. What I think is funny is people that keep saying Second Saturday is out of control is fucking crazy because it was fine. We were out for a while and then we went out that night. It was a good day.
I think they've done a lot... of work on the security and the kind of maintenance of Second Saturday. Yeah. And the other thing I like about that movie is that the cast is all older.
Oh yeah.
And I really love that you can have a movie in a movie that does well.
Totally.
And you don't have to have some young hot star to make
exactly.
it go.
And they still deal with some really cool, really great topics. Like it was one of the movies that like I haven't enjoyed that love in quite some time.
Yeah. Just to explain, if you're not in SAC or you haven't been to SAC, the Tower Theater is a historic theater in Sacramento, so it's kind of an older theater. And Second Saturday is the Second Saturday Art Walk, where there are galleries that open up their doors. You can come in for free. Businesses that aren't art businesses will let artists set up displays and things like that. And if it's a good scene, it's a very cool scene. And Saturday, I had already had plans to go to the Oakland A's game, where I saw Doug Fister pitch for the Tigers. Got back into town late on Second Saturday. Got back into town 10? No, it was about 11. It was about 11 o'clock. And there were a lot, to go to your point, a lot of cops around. And what I saw a Rockland police car. So they're not just... The cool thing is Sacramento is like, Second Saturday is an issue where we need to have more security here. But because one of the reasons we need to have more security here is because people are coming in from the suburbs in the outlying areas.
Roseville,
sorry. Rockland. So what they've done is they've reached out to these communities, apparently, and gotten police support from them to help handle the crowd situation, which A, I think is smart, and B, only fair, given the situation.
Yeah, when I was a police officer, the big event in Athens was Halloween, and it was an all-weekend insane like Mardi Gras, but people would come from a tri-state area for this weekend, and so what they did was the same thing. They went to all the law enforcement agencies and said, send us some volunteers, and then they would pair a local cop up with an out-of-town cop because we didn't have the manpower, and it was only fair if we're getting all your college
for sure.
Send us your officers.
Do you know the other time was always busy and there were riots at Ohio University? When the bars close and the clocks forward and the bars close early.
I was working that night.
God bless Ohio.
What was your Saturday? You stayed away from Second Saturday. What was the fun part of your day?
We went to an engagement / housewarming party of a friend of mine who's I perform with.
Nice.
Mikaela, who's been on the show.
Mikaela.
Her and Nick got a new really awesome apartment and they had an engagement party because they're getting married in October.
Where are they getting married?
They're getting married down in Lodi.
Oh, that's pretty. At first I was nervous they're going to get married in Stockton. No offense.
No, at a really beautiful place Lodi. And then we went straight from there to this fundraiser I think it's McClatchy Park in Oak Park.
Mm-hmm.
And it's where they have a farmer's market, which is really great because it was, I forget the word the woman used, but that area was known as like this junk food, whatever, because per capita there were more mini marts and liquor stores than there were grocery stores with fresh produce. It was like a produce dry zone. So they opened this awesome farmer's market. And so one of the local farms did this event where they donated a pig and they did a pig roast. And then it was all locally sourced fruits and vegetables and even the beverages. I think they said the only thing that wasn't local that was at the event were the flyers, because they had to have them made last minute and they had them made in Oakland. So it was really cool. Now, it turned out it was the first time they did it, and the event wound up being somewhat disorganized, and we had some issues with how they ran it. But overall, I think it was for a really awesome cause, and it was bringing fresh fruit and produce to an area that really is lacking.
That's good.
So, and we got to spend time with friends and be outside and hang out. So that part was good. And a bunch of local musicians played, and they were all really good, including Brian Rogers, who I really like.
Excellent. And I know everybody's wondering how my meeting went last week.
Yes, we are.
I'm glad you brought it up. I wasn't gonna ask.
Of course.
I already asked.
Me too, but I didn't ask on air.
No. So last Wednesday, I met up with this lady, and we went to the Buckhorn Grill. And one of the things she liked about my profile was that at the end, there's a place where you can put, you should message me if, and one of the things I put was if, something along the lines of, if you appreciate a man who respects you enough to let you pick up the check.
Oh, I like that.
That's funny.
I was gonna say, if you're not a scrawny vegetarian, because I could see you saying that.
No, so she liked that. So we went there, and she's like, "Well, how do we want to do this?" And I said,
"You can pick up the check."
I did not say that. She's like, "Well, I want to pay." I'm like, "Okay."
Hold on, where did you go?
We went to Buckhorn.
Oh, nice.
Buckhorn Grill, and so we got our food and we sat outside and we ate and we talked for over an hour. Seemed to have a good time. And I contacted her the next day, and her response was, "I just don't think we're a good match."
What do you think that meant?
Well, what was it? It wasn't just that. It was, "I don't think we have that much in common, so I don't think we're a good match." So I don't know. I don't know. Normally, if you sit and have a conversation with someone for an hour and you're both having a good time and laughing, and it wasn't the fake laughter. It was, because I can tell if somebody's fake laughing. But it was, I don't know.
I think, to me, when I find that, if you find somebody that's really good conversationalist and you really enjoy the time with them, it's because you're not feeling the tingle. It's just as simple as that, I think. They're just like, you're cool, but I'm not turned on, because I've done that. I've gone on dates where I've been like, "You're so cool, but I have a lot of friends."
Yeah.
I'm looking for it to fill a specific need.
Downstairs.
Exactly.
Oh my God. Mel just moved her pelvis right at me.
Wow.
I was scooting in my
seat. Were you threatening him?
That's called a pelvis thrust.
Pelvic thrust.
Pelvis thrust. Hold on. What's it called? Pelvis.
Pelvic thrust.
What's pelvis? Is that anything?
The pelvis is what that is, that area.
Oh.
But it's called a pelvic thrust.
It's kind of like décolleté. I love that word.
Décolletage.
Necklaté. Is that what it's
called? No. No.
Nate's got you two for two. Tired.
I've gotten up very early this morning. And I was up very late last night.
So I have Larry 2-0 on names for anatomy, especially that of a woman.
Nate knows women's anatomy really well.
I do.
He always seems to know all the parts
of where
they go. Do you
know how many boobs I feel on a daily basis?
Yeah, but do you really know what to do with them?
You squeeze them and giggle.
That's what Paul does.
Yesterday, okay, let's just count randomly. Yesterday, I felt 3 girls' boobs. False. 2 girls' boobs. 2 girls. It was softball night. That's what I do.
Oh, okay. Well, that explains it all, doesn't it?
Well, no, because I just saw a lot more people, so it was easier to go grabbing.
Well, that makes perfect sense.
I love that there was... did you hear about the Title IX controversy yesterday?
At the Capitol, yeah. Yes, I did.
So this assembly member said something bad about Title IX and said he didn't want to support it. It was the 40th anniversary of Title IX and didn't want to support it because it hurts men's sport, which it has. Men's gymnastics is gone.
It's
definitely on the way out.
What it's done, its intention was good. Its effects have been devastating in areas that they didn't think it would be.
Because schools were stupid, and instead of adding women's sports, they solved it by just cutting men's sports.
No, what they did was they didn't change their funding for their athletic departments, either because they couldn't or because they wouldn't. So if you're adding all of these women's programs, you then have to, in order, because you only have so much money, you had to cut men's programs. Yeah. So like you said, things like swimming, gymnastics, those were some of the first to go. Tennis, golf, those go. Even at some colleges, baseball goes too.
Yeah,
baseball, perfect. Soccer, things like that, because
high
those
male are, member sports.
Those, yeah, high male member sports. The exception is football, because football, even at a smaller school, usually makes money. That's one of the money
makers. One of the biggest fallacies in higher education. 26 Division I football programs make money. The rest all lose money.
But the and
I wrote like 8 papers on it in grad school.
Are you as correct about that as you are about décolletage?
I'm sorry. I'm going to check my pelvis. But where did the news go to interview people about this? They come to the Gay Softball League to interview lesbians playing softball.
Hey, why not?
It made me laugh. They only want to talk to women.
Well, yeah, because it was basically it was Brandi Chastain was at the Capitol.
Was she a soccer player?
She was. She scored a game-winning goal in a World Cup game, and then she ripped her shirt off.
She took off her bra. That girl.
No, her shirt.
She was hot.
She still is.
So
would you do her, Mel?
Okay, we're going to move on from there.
Mel nodded yes, by the way.
Okay.
Maybe.
So this is something I saw that I thought I'd share. So I'm not going...
Wait. Guess who I saw today speaking to the media?
Who?
Jerry Brown.
Oh, did you give him a high five?
He's the governor. He's not a member of the media.
No, the media was there because he was speaking at the conference I was at, and there was all this media there, and I was like, what's all the media for? And then Jerry Brown came in.
He's about getting, I think, going to get egged by everyone in Sacramento because all the... I mean, California is $16 billion in debt this year.
Right. And that means there are people that are going to have things taken away that they don't want. And people are going to have to contribute more than they really would like to, because that's how you make up for stuff.
Well, it's funny because he's talking to us, which is a bunch of people that work with victims of crime, which is a really great, important thing. That's one of the first things that gets cut because people go, that's extra.
Yeah, that's the assumption. It's like, oh, well, we're going to cut these police officers or this or that. And it's like, whoa, 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 whoa. Before we take all the cops off the street, let's go and look at the ramifications of what that might be. But no one wants ever. There's this whole thing on one side of the political aisle that says we're not going to approve any more taxes on anything ever.
I don't want to pay anymore, and I don't want to lose anything.
Yeah,
I want it all.
It doesn't work that way.
That's why California is in the state it's in.
Well, it's one of the reasons. There's a lot of reasons, and it's too complicated and silly to go into here. So let's delve into the world of high-end ceramic knives.
King Dubbo Ceramic Knives. The knives of the world. Zirconia ceramic knives. An ever-rust, color and changed, healthy and environmental product. Can keep original taste and color of food when cutting vegetables, fruit, or meat. This is a 7-inch black mirror blade.
It's like 9 different
knife accents
all combined together.
I know. It's just like, it's like the ethnic girl on the news who could be Latino or Asian, maybe Chinese. It's like the voice equivalent of that.
There's definitely some Swedish chef in there.
And the funny thing is, this guy that's doing the voice is obviously convinced that he sounds perfect.
Is it a guy doing the voice, or is it a computer system that's just putting the words together that they're typing in a different language?
No, this is a guy.
Just like steel knives cutting. Cut well, easy to handle.
Because a computer voice isn't going to have 6 different accents rolled into one.
A bad one might.
Our eyes will be stimulated when we use steel knives to cut onion. Even will be tearful.
Oh, sorry.
Steel knives to cut onions.
Two knives to cut onion.
Ah.
So, all right. I'm sorry.
That is ridiculous.
I know. Does that make us racist for finding that amusing?
Did you guys...
Possibly.
Okay. On an unrelated note, did you see the clip that's been going around on Facebook of the woman that was speaking at the city council meeting about homosexuals?
That went batshit crazy?
Have you listened to it?
I have not.
You
oh my God.
And the guy that's sitting behind her while she's speaking, you just feel so bad for him because I think he knows he's on camera, but it looks like his head's about to explode. He's like, what is she saying?
Now, is this something that was on YouTube or?
I'm sure it's on YouTube.
It
was on Facebook. I think that, I know it's on Paul's page because he shared it. But oh, fuck. The stuff. And like, it was so disjointed, but it was like the sad thing is there's so many people out there that are that crazy. And she called Hillary Clinton a lesbian.
Mm-hmm. Which, by the way, do you know the Hillary Clinton meme thing that was going around? Like, had text from Hillary Clinton and it had pictures of her. The funniest one that had a two screen, it had Obama with his phone and Hillary with his phone. And Obama is texting Hillary and said, bitch, you can come out now. Or no, like it was joke. Like it said, like, you can come out now. And she was like, bitch, please.
Okay, I think I found it. So let's listen in on a little bit of this.
Nervous. That looks like it.
Oh, dear Lord.
It's you're going to be baffled by it.
Well, I don't know if I'm going to be baffled by it because... It's in Lincoln, Nebraska, and it's an old woman at a podium. I got to let this buffer out.
You have to link this to our page so people, because the funnest part is watching the poor guy behind her and then the old woman next to him clearly says something about how batshit crazy this lady is, but politely she sort of leans over and then she sort of shrugs like, I don't know, she's crazy.
Mm-hmm. Well, while this buffers out, let's move on with the show a little bit and talk about some of the other things that aren't anti-gay in the world. Oh, did my computer lock up? That'd be awesome if this lady is so anti-gay that she ruined my computer.
Your computer's gay and was offended by that. Yeah, I know. So like, bitch, I'm shutting down your hard drive.
No, it's craziness. All right, here we go. Crazy lady.
I'm Jane Swoboda. Winter Wipeout TV show had broken bones and manslaughter every minute. Winter Wipeout show is produced in Holland by gays, bis, and orgiers. Why do
orgiers?
Like,
what's an orgier?
Perishing. P-E-N-I-S goes into the anus to rupture intestines. More.
That's a long P-E-N-I-S. It's rupturing intestines.
Getting pleasure while the other man passes.
My computer is like, I can't even process this.
It's the craziest shit you've ever
it's
heard.
It's incoherent, but like, you know she's believing what she's saying. It's I mean, how seriously can you take a woman that starts off by talking about Winter Wipeout, the show where people fall into pits of foam,
right,
and connects it to gay people and then orgiers, which I don't believe is a word.
And I think it's retarded that she gets her full 5 minutes no matter what she has to say. I just want to go to one of these meetings and be like, 5 minutes, penis, 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 cunt, cunt, vagina, penis, 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 cunt, cunt, vagina.
Well,
for
5 minutes. If you could go for 5 minutes, they would let you, because that's the whole, see, that's the great part of living in a democracy. At a city council meeting, you get to see this. And I'm kind of sad because I work at a TV station and we cover city council meetings a lot. And nothing this good ever happens at a city council meeting.
Or I just want to go in and talk like gibberish for 5 minutes. Are you going to go back to bike now, Lula?
Reverberates another homicide later. UNESCO, United Nations, has gender and bioethics conferences combined. Only gays go to gender studies. Gays are the bioethic genociders in hospitals.
What does that mean?
I think they mean to commit genocide.
Can be eliminated, the feds stated in.
I don't know. She's nuts. And we will put this on our YouTube page. So there's a link to that at NateDarlingShow.com. I'm going to try and this is, honestly, I can't go to anything else. I have to close this or I can't continue with the show.
Sorry.
That's okay.
It's batshit crazy.
Oh, yeah. It's 5 minutes of crazy old lady in middle America.
And sadly, there's millions just like her.
But although in reducing numbers, yay. Thanks, Obama.
Speaking of Obama, he came out in favor of gay marriage this past week. In fact, last Wednesday, I believe it was. The first U.S. president ever to say, yes, I am in favor of gay marriage. Larry, your thoughts?
Overdue. He already said it in 96 and then went back in the anti-gay marriage closet because he realized politically it would be dangerous for him. I'm disappointed he did not do it before the vote in North Carolina, and it was politically calculated, which I'm disappointed in. But I think it's progress he made it. What I'm really going to be angry about is I think there's so much my criticism with Obama is that gay people campaigned so much work for him, although he has done some things that are really great, but for as progressive as he should have pushed the agenda more, in my opinion. What is going to drive me crazy is the White House is still saying they don't support legislation on the federal level. That'd be like in the 60s if he would have said, I support equal rights, but I don't think the federal government should make sure that it happens. If that was the approach, the South would still be segregated. And so I'm happy, but at the same time, I'm like, I'll be honest, I have gay marriage fatigue because I'm tired of fighting for something that is so painfully obvious. It's hard to be like, especially knowing that when you look at statistics, and you literally look at even the hardcore conservative movement, the young people, they don't care about gay marriage. It's really irrelevant. And so it's going to happen. So I know it's inevitable, although you still have to keep fighting for it. I'm just like, God, people, let's get there already.
Yeah, it is kind of exhausting, and it's a waste of, I think it's a waste of, unfortunately, our time in the political discourse, because it really should happen. It should happen. It should happen now. It shouldn't even be an issue that we're talking about. It should happen so that we can all move on with our lives and focus on things like the economy and moving our country forward. But instead, we get so gridlocked into trying to deny rights, privileges, and other things to people based upon their sexual preference. And I understand that in this country, the concept of gay marriage is still very revolutionary for some people. And I mean, a generation ago, it was difficult for people to marry interracially. So, I mean, if you look at it on the grand scheme of things, we are going forward in leaps and bounds faster than we ever have before. And that's partially right. because of social media and the connectivity. But I understand coming at it from your perspective, it's like, why is this even taking so long? And why is this an issue? And what happened last week in North Carolina? And I don't really want to go into it because it's incredibly nuts. You all can look it up. What the president said wouldn't even have counteracted that because his statement was that the federal government shouldn't be making that mandate, that it should be a state-by-state thing. So even if he had said it the day before the North Carolina vote, I don't know that it would have even had an impact for that very reason.
The thing that no one is comfortable saying, it happened in part, not exclusively because of Prop 8, but North Carolina, is that African-Americans are not comfortable with same-sex marriage.
Right.
Overwhelmingly. And in North Carolina, where Obama in the black community, I think I read 97% approval rating. Had he said something, it could have tipped the polls.
Well, you know who came out today, speaking of black leaders?
I think I know who you're going to say.
Jay-Z came out and said he is in favor of gay marriage. So I think
that's a bold stance to take in Hollywood.
What, or in Brooklyn? Or
no, it is. It's really cool, Jay-Z.
For someone of his stature in that community, the way that the African American community has historically looked at that is, I mean, he's somebody. He's not bulletproof. Nobody's bulletproof. But
except for LaRue, whose song I really enjoy.
He is just at a point where he's made enough money so that if he never makes another dime, he's going to be perfectly okay. And so we need more people like that to come out and say that, just as an indication to people in their community that, you know what, it's okay. It doesn't hurt us. I mean, and even if you're a hardcore Christian and you're like, they're going to burn in hell for all of eternity, let God sort it out. Why are you settling God's hash? Let him deal with it. If in fact Larry is going to burn for all of eternity in hellfire for wanting to have sex with a man, then why is anybody in this country who's alive worried about that? Let God sort it out later. I mean, he's got the vengeful one and all that jazz. Really?
Word.
There.
See, that's the thing. It's so, like, what's funny is, again, because I wish I could find this article. There's been almost no social movement that's gained as fast as acceptance as gay marriage. We would not have been having this conversation 15 years ago.
Oh, no.
It wasn't on the radar.
Nope. Not at all.
And how fast, even in North Carolina, they voted on it in 96, 94, I forget, and it passed by like 72%. So, like, I mean, like, what I want to sit down to the haters and say, listen, conservative people, if you want to make yourself completely irrelevant, which I think is bad for our country because I think we need lots of voices to try to solve problems, all you're going to do is make yourself irrelevant. You're going to be seen as crazy people. So you need to get over this.
Yeah, Adam Carolla made a good point with it. Is it's going to happen anyway, so get on the right side of history.
Sure.
Don't be the people that we look back on in 15 years and look at as cavemen. Speaking of people to look at as cavemen.
Ooh.
Or ladies, Bristol Palin.
I can't
leave Bristol Palin out. For some reason, this was covered by some.
I hate her so much.
I know.
I love when girls that are knocked up become culturally relevant in our society.
She believes that Obama is a weak, pathetic, stupid man for allowing his daughters to influence his opinion on gay marriage. He said part of his statement was that he talked to his family and his daughters about the whole thing, and they were part of his decision to come out and speak about it now. In her blog entry,
what do you mean communication?
What an awful idea.
Okay.
She's just jealous because Obama's daughters have a father in their life. Bam, I said it.
She has a father in her life.
Oh, yeah. What's his name? The dude that poses in Playgirl.
No, I got
another girl knocked up.
No. That's her baby daddy,
her baby daddy. Not her, but her children don't have
Listen,
a baby
daddy. Listen, are you going to step back and give a little respect to Bristol and what she said?
No.
Okay, I'm still going to read it anyway.
It's hard to say respect in Bristol.
I know. It was hard to get it out. While it's great to listen to your kids' ideas, there's also a time when dads simply need to be dads. In this case, it would have been helpful for him to explain to Malia and Sasha that while her friend's parents are no doubt lovely people, that's not a reason to change thousands of years of thinking about marriage. She continues, as great as her friends may be, we know that in general, kids do better growing up in a mother-father home. Ideally, fathers help shape their kids' worldview. I guess we can be glad that Malia and Sasha aren't younger, or perhaps today's press conference might have been about appointing Dora the Explorer as Attorney General because of her success in stopping Swiper the Fox. Then, and this is the part that's probably going to make you more angry than not, she took a shot at Glee. She continued, sometimes dads should lead their family in the right ways of thinking. In this case, it would have been nice if the president would have been an actual leader and helped shape their thoughts instead of merely reflecting what many teenagers think after one too many episodes of Glee.
That's right. He should be a father, be archaic, not have... I mean, he should still be telling us that we should have slaves because we should not change. I mean, probably, change is bad.
Totally. I'm pretty sure that he's not going to take that side of the slave.
That would be pretty odd.
Why is he rocking the boat?
All of a sudden he'd claim his white side of his biracialism. Right. Like, hey, y'all, I'm half white, y'all.
And I keep the black half as a slave.
This is how it's always been, and this is how it always should be.
Demand a dowry, goddammit.
I would like to say, oh, remember the time in history we used to stone to death women that got pregnant outside of... Oh, wait, that would be you.
Teenage harlot.
And I supported you a little bit on Dancing with the Stars, and now I take all of that back.
Yeah, your dad should step in and be a dad and teach you hate properly.
Yeah, by the way, if you're that opposed to gays, why were you on Dancing with the Stars?
Thank you.
I mean, come on. Come on.
Maybe she's just bitter because some queen glued some quick sequins on her butt.
Because her other reality show failed and she wasn't done with her 15
painful.
Minutes.
So
she needs to go away.
That's well, it was her blog. So to be fair, TMZ and others were covering her blog. So that's where it all comes from. Now, another lady that everybody knows and loves. Just kidding. The Tanning Mom.
Yeah. Oh, Tanning Mom.
She's running out of places to hide. Apparently, TMZ has uncovered that several tanning salons surrounding her New Jersey home have banned her from the premises. And now even the New Jersey Department of Health is getting involved. Sources are telling TMZ that Planet Sun Tanning Salon, which runs 8 locations around her home, has already posted pictures of her behind the employee counters to help workers recognize her. And they actually have pictures of this lady, and there's a picture of the picture behind the counter at the tanning salon. So she's not being allowed to tan. And this just actually came
in. Does
that
mean there's other leather faces that she could be mistaken for?
Well, I mean, they want to make sure, I guess. I mean, I don't know. You've seen Real Housewives, haven't you?
Oh, yeah, good
okay,
point.
Okay, there you go. So she got that. And another slap in the face, slap in the leathery face. She apparently intimated that she might be willing to pose for Playboy. And today, Playboy came out and said, we are not interested. That will never happen.
You're yucky.
So,
gross.
So,
ew. That I have a feeling if that happened, there'd be a dramatic increase in the amount of men becoming gay. People are like, meh, dudes aren't so bad.
You don't understand the power of pussy for a straight man, Larry. You really do not.
Even if it's brown and withered and like parchment.
Well, would you really rather have sex with like the nastiest girl possible than like George Lopez? Ew, yeah. What did I say, George Lopez? What the fuck was that?
Hey, Larry. Hey, Larry, let's go in the back.
Wow.
Oh, my God. George Lopez is so annoying.
I appreciate the love, man.
I don't know why, but I think I was going to say Mario Lopez. Not that that's dramatic.
Or George Clooney.
Oh, fuck George Clooney. Oh.
And you went from Mario Lopez or George Clooney to George Lopez.
I feel uncomfortable.
That's funny.
I'm a little tired, I think.
He went there. Speaking of Mario Lopez, and this is not the Iron Sheik tweet of the week, but the Iron Sheik, for some reason, had something to say about Mario Lopez this week. I shared this with our friend Nick Pettigrew. He said it made his day yesterday.
Mario Lopez, you know, I wish I had you. You was in a school a long time ago. I saw you in the show, but I saw you a little punk. If you come into my school, I put you in the wrestling team till somebody beat the fuck out of you, and I could put you in the camel clutch, and I'm gonna fuck the little smallish ass you had. I make you humble. Mario Lopez, you can go fuck yourself just like Hulk Hogan. Mario Lopez, ha! Tough.
So I don't know what prompted the Iron Sheik to be angry at Mario Lopez, but I'm pretty sure that I understand that that might be that in some places that's actually foreplay.
Wow.
Oh goodness.
I couldn't even understand much of it, but I definitely got the gist.
Yeah.
Did you?
Yeah.
You got the gist of that.
Got
one.
The gist.
Okay. All right. Well, woo. Now moving on with the show, it's time now for our original segment. It's time for...
Cool.
Tool.
Whoa. All right, first up in Cooler Tool this week, it's Joe Biden for playing the Will and Grace card, which he mentioned that Will and Grace brought acceptance to gay couples. Mm. And the president cited that as one of the reasons why he came out in favor of gay marriage. So cooler tool to Joe Biden. Larry, let's start with you.
It's so complex.
Yes,
I feel like
it is.
Make people angry no matter what I answer. I'm going to say cool. Part of the reason I'm really saying Joe Biden is cool is because supposedly the White House did not know he was going to say it as early as he did. And it was kind of like a crap moment. And so I want to say cool.
All right, Mel, what do you think?
Oh, geez. I'm going to second that, I guess, because I guess anything is any step in the right direction, I guess.
I'm going to go cool-ish because it's great that he recognized that Will and Grace was a show with gay characters, but really, is that what moved gay rights ahead that far? Was it really
a sexist gay man who and a woman that live in a $9,500 a month apartment, New York City? Totally the average gay life.
I thought Ellen was going to be the one to do it when she came out on her show in the airport.
Oh, yeah. Well, Ellen. Speaking of Ellen, she sold her mansion to Ryan Seacrest, $49 million.
Wow.
There's something like, I have problems.
I can't wait until America is a place where gay women, gays and women and gay women can finally succeed and prosper, because in America today, that's completely impossible. Unless you're Ellen, I guess, or Oprah, who knows. Cooler Tool, up next. I know this is going to be a slam dunk.
Can we all say it in unison if it's super obvious?
It's Bristol Palin.
Tool.
That might have been the easiest one ever.
I know.
Because there's no rationale for it trying to be cool.
No.
And I like that you didn't even say anything about, usually it's like somebody, what they've done. And so it's always hard for me to separate the person from what they've done. But with her, there's no separating. She's just, it doesn't matter what she does or what she says or what it is, Tool.
Yeah, that was pretty obvious.
Thanks for that one.
You're welcome. And finally in Cooler Tool, tanning salons for banning the tanning mom from the premises. Mel.
I'm going to go Tool. And you know, and it's Larry's fault.
All right.
What?
It's completely Larry's fault. You actually affected my thought on this.
Ooh, I'm glad about this. Please continue.
Now, when I say the quote, if you're going to go, that wasn't me, I'm going to feel stupid. But in my mind, you're the one that said this. And I thought it was during our show. Mm. But the thing that was said was that if this woman didn't look the way she did, this wouldn't have gotten sensationalized the way it did. But because she looks like a monster, everybody jumped on the bandwagon. If it was me, you know, I'm super fair-skinned. If my fair-skinned child had said that, they would have investigated. They would have said, here's whatever, you're in trouble, you're not in trouble, you have to go to a parenting class. And that would have been the end of it. I think this woman has a right to kill herself and go tan. And I don't think because she looks like a monster that it got so sensationalized that she's getting banned from something that I think she has a right to tan if she wants to tan. These places should be monitoring if she's... Now, they may say you can't bring children in here because of the law, but I think she has a right to tan if she wants to look like a freak. That's her God-given right. So I don't think it's fair. I think because the story got so sensationalized, she's being punished above and beyond or stigmatized above and beyond.
Would you agree she's being profiled and treated differently because the color of her skin?
I would.
Is that not racism? I mean, let's... Like, what's the fine line, people? Is she being skin profiled? I believe she is.
The difference being she chose the color of her skin.
How do you know black people don't choose to be black? People accuse me of choosing to be gay all the time.
Right.
Well, I don't know that you chose to, but you certainly enjoy it.
I guess so. I never know what to say when people say things like that. I'm like, well, you really like being gay, right? I'm like, it's who I am. Like, do you like being Jewish?
You seem pretty happy with it, is all I'm saying.
I mean, it's pretty awesome, let's be honest.
There you go.
It's endless sex and money. I mean, we all live in million-dollar mansions. We have endless sex, and we're all beautiful.
There you go.
It's amazing, actually, we are able to convert more people.
And my life is like an endless Hanukkah.
Totally. Latkes.
Gefilte fish. All right, Larry. The banning the tanning mom. Cooler Tool.
This is kind of Tool. I'm going to say Tool.
I'm going to agree. I don't think... I know why they're doing it, but it's just not I mean, it's not right. I mean, ban kids from being in the area. That's fine. Don't come in with your kids. But denying somebody your business, and I understand it's a private business. They have the right to refuse service to anybody for any reason. But that is, in fact, why they're doing it.
And they're doing it for publicity and to save face with the community.
They're all whores.
Yeah, it's really too bad. And ultimately, those places should ban children from being in the rooms where those tanning beds are anyway.
Just like airlines.
And in California, if you're under 18, you can't go to those places. So that's perfectly fine to do, but to ban it from that, that's a tool move. And I do want to sort of just temper something you said. I don't believe tanning is actually a right.
False.
Well, I mean, I guess my point for that is like goods and services. If I have sure. the money to pay for something, you can refuse me. I'm not saying they it's illegal to refuse her service. I just don't think there's a just cause for it in this case besides the fact that it was so sensationalized.
You're absolutely right, but I just like the fact
life, liberty, and the pursuit to look like a leather couch.
Exactly.
There you
God bless America.
Fuck America. Hell yeah, bitches. Ooh, I don't mean fuck America. I mean like fuck yeah, America.
Yeah, you know, we say things on our show all the time that are crazy and out there.
I'm sure they're being monitored by somebody.
And you know what? You can hear our show on Stitcher. That's where they might be monitoring.
Ooh.
Listen to us on your iPhone, Android phone, BlackBerry, and WebOS phones. Stitcher is smart radio for your phone. Find it in the App Store or at Stitcher.com. Stitcher Smart Radio. It is the smarter way to listen to radio.
Hell yeah.
And they're very cool. All right, I'm going to double up on our Iron Sheik goodness because I already picked an Iron Sheik tweet of the week.
Oh, my.
The other thing was a pure spur of the moment
thing. I don't know if I can
thing.
Take it. So much Iron Sheik.
Well, you brought up Mario Lopez. Actually, you brought up George Lopez because you apparently have this secret desire to get with him. I don't know
disgusting.
What it is.
Can I just say there's a funny tomato about how you guys say his name to me? Because I say Mario Lopez and you both say Mario.
We're East Coast.
Yeah.
Well, you're East Coast.
I know, and I Mario sounds weird to me.
Mario.
Mario Lopez.
That's my answer to it.
Mario is a video game character. Mario, I don't care. I don't have any thoughts about him. Unlike the Iron Sheik, he does not preoccupy my thoughts. Anyway, the Iron Sheik tweet of the week. Happy Mother's Day to everybody in the world except the Mel Gibson and the O.J. Simpson.
They're not mothers.
But they're motherfuckers.
Listen, the Iron Sheik knows no logic, really. So that was his tweet of the week.
I second that sentiment, really.
I know. See, that's the thing. No matter how crazy you think it is, you start to really think about it and go, you know what? He kind of has a point. Except when he starts talking about humbling people by having anal sex with them.
Yeah.
Is that wrong?
No, I'm not judging. Okay, I'm just saying that's the point where I kind of diverge from his thing. All right. So I wanted to do something a little different with the show, and we sent around these things. So right now on the show, we're going to do something we haven't done before. It's called Your Top Three Things, and we're going to go around, and we'll do one thing from each person, and we'll do it until we sort of run out of time here. And you have to answer your own question, too.
Oh.
You know what I mean? So you can't just ask the question and not expect to have to answer it. That's the whole thing. I mean, and these aren't really super personal questions,
I'm gonna make one up at the last minute.
That's
dirty.
Fine.
No, I'm just kidding.
That's fine.
Make it dirty, please.
Why don't we start with you, Mel? What? Go ahead and ask us. And
I have to pick one. I don't want to pick one.
Well, pick one of your
pick
own.
Pick
the ask
second
us.
One you listed. I don't know what that is. I'm just giving you some help.
You know what? Which one I want to do is songs. What are your three favorite songs right now?
Oh,
not
easy.
Overall
okay.
songs, but like right now, the ones you're really grooving
okay.
on.
Okay.
Okay.
For sure.
Do you have three, Larry?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
In no particular order, the three are, God, it makes me sound so obnoxious when I actually say it out loud. Flo Rida's featuring Zaya's Wild One. I'm obsessed. I've been obsessed with that song since like the end of February. I was at a bowling alley with friends and played that song maybe like three times on repeat in the jukebox. I love that song. The second song, again, in no order, Jennifer Lopez's On the Floor. I want to dance and laugh. I love it. I can't not help it.
Okay.
And the third song that I would select is Call Me Baby.
I like that too.
Me too. Fun fact about her, she finished third place on Canadian Idol.
Ooh, Canadian Idol.
Mm-hmm.
My top three, and they're in no particular order. The first one is the new single from the Gaslight Anthem. It's called 45.
Yeah, you're really into them right now.
You love them.
I am. This is they're going to have their major label debut. So that's one. Another one is an older song by them called Great Expectations, which is one that I really sort of identified with for a number of reasons, which is really, really cool. And the last one, and the reason that I'm into this one, is I wasn't really aware of this band, but we talked about it on the other podcast, the On Demand Super Show, because their lead singer just came out as transgendered.
She did.
Well, not she yet. Still he. Mm-hmm. The band is called Against Me, and the song is Thrash Unreal, and I'm going to play that at the end of the show.
Oh, good. So I just was going to say I want to hear it.
Yeah, we'll hear that at the end of the show. It's not one of the new songs, but it's kind of a cool song. Real quick thing on the before we move on the lead singer of Against Me, and his name escapes me right now.
Tranny.
No. You're horribly insensitive.
I say that word lovingly.
He's married, and he is going to stay married to his current wife because he is a man living in a woman's body. Mm-hmm. He is not a gay man. He is not attracted to women. So he's not having a sex change to be with men. He loves the person he's with. He's going to stay with the person he's with.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually found out about it on the Gaslight Anthem's Tumblr page, because when this was announced in Rolling Stone, there was a lot of backlash, because this is a band that's kind of a alternative band, and a lot of people came out and like, what are you doing? What's going on? And they're like, listen, it's a person who's trying to live their life. What's it your business? What's going on? So I just wanted to tie that whole thing together and explain what it was. And it's in the latest Rolling Stone if you want to kind of read a little bit more about it.
He could help expand the genre of tranny rock.
Well, you know what was curious to me, and I will get to your three songs. I'll give you another second to think about it, was in terms of gay marriage, once he has the surgery, he will in fact legally be female and married to another female.
Mm-hmm. So, and their marriage is still legal.
Yeah.
The Onion, which of course is the most brilliant source of news, they had an article about this where they were trying to define marriages, one biologically born male to one biologically born female, because transgender, by recognizing different genders, it doesn't disavow the marriage. And this is part of the reason why legislation needs to happen at a federal level, where if Mel and I are married, and Mel decides that she wants to be a man and decides to become identified by the government as a male. And some states have very different laws about like how they perceive you and how they recognize your gender. She becomes recognized as a male and I'm a male. What happens now? Because we are legally married. And if we were married before the state constitution passed something like North Carolina, you can't retroactively take away someone's rights. So what do you do? There's a huge class of people that really are in limbo. And it becomes a big issue when it comes down to, there is an incredibly sad video on YouTube about a gay dude who died and his boyfriend died, but they didn't have anything. So his family kind of disowned him or like took all the stuff or whatever, that talks about all this. So it's a big issue. It's a big issue in the trans world.
So I just wanted to bring that up. Mel, what are your favorite three songs right now?
It was really hard to narrow them down. And I actually have like an honorable mention. But these are the ones I'm just so into that I listen to over and over again right now is the We Are Young.
We are young.
I think that's my like fun.
They were just here. Did you know that? At Sex State.
Yeah, I feel too old to go to those kind of concerts.
Oh.
The other one is the Gym Class Heroes Stereo Hearts song, which is tough because I don't care for Adam
Levine.
Oh, I find him douchey.
Self-hating Jew.
I know. Think he's malnourished and someone needs to adopt him to feed him some sandwiches.
But that song, I heard, you know, a lot of the cool, like current poppy songs I get from Glee.
Mm-hmm.
Glee?
And that one was on Glee as well as the Red Solo Cup song and the Travie McCoy, I Want to Be a Billionaire song. All of those I learned from Glee. So the Stereo Hearts and then Broken Hearted. And I don't exactly know who to say that's by, because I think it's Nicki Minaj, but it's by her alter ego, Carmen, or something.
That's not her alter ego.
Oh, I thought that was the same person.
No, it's a different artist.
Oh, I thought that was Nicki Minaj.
No, I don't.
So it's not.
Unless I'm really stupid. I mean, I might be.
Like an alter ego that's British, and that's who was doing that song. Or perhaps it's Carmen with Nicki Minaj.
Nicki Minaj tends to be in almost any song lately, so I think that's
probably
the case.
So it could be with her. Yeah. So
how does it? Can you hum
it? It's the one where she does the cheerio.
Oh,
all throughout the chorus.
Yeah, she's featured.
Okay, so it's Carmen with Nicki Minaj.
I
Brokenhearted. I love that freaking song.
Okay.
We should have little clips of them. I should have sent you my choices.
Well, that's fine.
And then also just this total like add on that Kelly Clarkson song, "What Doesn't Kill You Makes You Stronger." I like that song.
Amazing.
You know what's really funny is the parody that she did with Jimmy Kimmel. If you haven't seen that, I'll put it on our YouTube page. They do a duet where she smashes a truck. I won't explain the whole thing, but she smashes Jimmy Kimmel's truck with a bat. So it's a duet. It's her and, unless I'm mixing her up with somebody else.
No. Oh, Carrie Underwood.
Carrie Underwood. Sorry. I get them all mixed up.
Yeah.
They're both American Idol winners.
Yeah.
Stronger, if you see, God, I feel like I'm plugging YouTube all the time. There's a video of some kids from Children's Hospital in Seattle with the Stronger video.
Oh, yeah, yeah, I saw that.
Not gonna lie, maybe cried a little bit. And then Kelly Clarkson made a response video, which, not gonna lie, maybe cry a little bit. And then there was some news station where the guy talking about it kind of cried a little bit talking about it. It was adorable.
Oh.
There was a speaker at my conference today that made all of us cry.
Oh.
I was like, oh.
A lot of estrogen in the room.
Yeah.
All right, let's Larry, why don't you pick your top three question for us? Since you only submitted three,
I don't remember what I submitted.
I'll pick your first one.
Oh, okay.
The first one at the top of your list, the top three things in your refrigerator right now.
Oh, okay.
Mel, that's the top three things in your refrigerator right now?
Eggs.
Uh-huh.
We have flats and flats of fresh eggs.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
We have drinks, beer, soda, wine,
mm-hmm.
lemonade. We have so many drinks that milk. They take up most of the refrigerator next to the eggs. And then probably condiments because Paul has like 100 mustards. Because
wow.
He loves all the different kinds of mustard. So we have a ton of condiments. So I would say eggs, liquids, drinkables, and condiments.
Okay. The top three things in my refrigerator right now, I have two types of cheeses, Monterey Jack and mozzarella.
Mm.
I have both. This sort of falls in line. These are my condiments. I have Walmart's version of A1 sauce and hot sauce.
Ooh.
Those would be my condiments. And the third thing in my fridge that's kind of cool is I still have 4 of my 6-pack of Anchor Steam.
Nice.
Which is a very good beer. Larry, what are the top three things in your fridge?
I have a lot of stuff in my fridge because I went to the store a little bit ago. Okay, so I'm a cheese snob, like insane.
No, don't forget it's what's there right now.
No. Yeah. I know it's a lot of stuff. So how do I get so the three things the three things I have most of. Oh,
Your question is the top three things.
Okay.
In your refrigerator
I'm gonna answer
right now.
The top three things I'm most excited about in my refrigerator.
Oh, I was doing what I had the most of.
Well, all mine probably coincide. So I have a lot of cheese, like a lot of it, because I love to eat it. And so I have some cave aged Gouda that is so freaking good. You have like one piece and that's all you need, like one little like square, and you eat it and like you're kind of set for life. It's so good. I have an amazing amount of bacon, which I bought because Safeway had a sale the other day. I'm really snotty about bacon and I like the thick cut, like sort of like the butcher kind. I mean, they had it on sale, and I bake it now and put it on my salad because the other thing I'm eating a lot of... Why, stop farting, Nate darling, is I have, like, two huge things of spinach because I'm pretty much eating spinach salads for the rest of my life.
Do you know what's super exciting is this weekend we made a salad with our own grown mixed green
Ooh.
Mix and our own radishes.
That is exciting.
Meaning you took it out of the little... clear box
it's
of
not
King?
Exciting
meaning
at all.
I took a bowl out into my yard, picked my own greens, rinsed them off, and then ate them.
You're like Martha fucking Stewart.
Right on, bitches.
You're like the Pilgrims.
That's kind of cool.
It was neat. It tastes better when it's like we grew this.
Yeah.
You know, it's cool.
Was that did we get the three? I got confused.
Cheese, bacon, spinach.
Okay. Spinach was three. Okay, so mine, let's go the top three places that you would like to own a vacation home.
Oh, that's a hard one.
Let's start with Larry since he's the most traveled of the group.
Oh, dear Lord. Okay, now, when purchasing a vacation home, there's a lot of logic to it because you have to decide if it's a destination home or it's going to be a rental home that you're going to use sometimes or if it's a getaway home.
Let me make this very clear.
And it's hard.
This is just a house that you're... These are the three places that you want to go so much that you would, if you had the money, just go, boom, I want to buy a home because I want to go at any time I want and just be able to go and be in my own space.
Okay. I'm going to do one close, one far, one medium, one far. My close would be Russian River, Guerneville, because the trees there are magical and there's lots of gays.
Okay.
And it's close but far away. My middle one would... Oh, this is so hard. My middle one would be... Buenos Aires in Argentina. I love Argentina. Love it, love it, love it. And then my far away one would probably be... Actually, do you know where I really would like to have a place? Morocco. Because in some of the riads and... some of the places, they're not all that expensive, and it'd be really cool to have it. And it's a real, like, out of all the places I've been to, it's someplace where, it, like, it felt exotic but comfortable at the same time, so Morocco.
Okay. Mel, what are your, where are the three places we would find you vacationing?
Oh, my gosh. Well, I would definitely want something here on the coast, like Big Sur or Monterey or something like that. So a coast home somewhere south of here on the coast. Ireland. I think it's a good jumping off place to go other places, but I just would like to be kind of home-based there. And then my fantasy place far away would be New Zealand, because I think there's so much to do there. You'll never be able to take a long enough vacation. So having a home base in New Zealand, you can really do a lot there.
So true.
Because there's so much terrain. There's so many different things to do and things to see that you just can't ever do it unless you have a place there, and you can just stay as long as you want.
Mm. Interesting. And there's a lot of sheep there, too.
Sheep.
Indeed.
What about you, Nate Darling?
My top three places, two of them are North America, places I've been. So
can I guess?
You can guess if you'd like.
Montreal.
That is in fact one of them.
Yes.
Montreal is the greatest place on earth in the summer. I've said that before.
You're very adamant about that.
It is. There are festivals all summer long, music festivals, comedy festivals. There's a Formula One race there. There's virtually anything you would want to do in Montreal, there's there to do in the summertime. The CFL is playing football there in the summertime. It went down a little bit when the Expos left, so there's no Major League Baseball in town anymore, because that was just one more thing to do. But Montreal in the summertime, the weather is great, the people are great, everybody is outside. It's just a fun place to be. You can be in the heart of the city, you can go out drinking, you can be down on the water, you can ride bikes everywhere. It's just a gorgeous place. My second choice would be, I would probably have one in, somewhere near Santa Monica.
That was my second guess.
To be down on the coast and be in the greater LA area. Cause I really like LA. It's a cool place for me to visit. I've got friends down there.
You have Hot Jim.
Jimmy Ass Cheeks lives down there. And, there's... Yeah, it's just, I enjoy being in LA. I really like it, and
he loves Ed Hardy.
Yes, that's really what it is. It's about Ed Hardy. I love the trucker hats. I love $50 trucker hats.
You love Orange County like 4 years ago.
Oh my God. I love $50 trucker hats that are the exact same thing that feed companies gave away to people as promotional items when I was a kid. It's literally the exact same hat with the plastic buttons on the back, but it's $60 because Paris Hilton wore one once, like 5 or 6 years ago. And my third choice for having a home, vacation home, is someplace I haven't been but would like to go to, and that's London. Because
I wasn't expecting that.
Because I'd like to go to the UK. I have Scottish heritage, and London is a great place in terms of being able to get to places in Europe, any place in Europe you want to go, rather quickly. And they speak English there, which is a huge bonus for me.
Yeah.
You don't have to deal with...
Have you been to London? Because there's a lot of places where they actually don't speak so much English.
Sure.
It's the best Indian food in the world.
There's a lot of places in L.A. where they don't speak English, and there's a ton of places in Montreal where they don't speak English.
Bonjour.
No, and there's a lot of other languages being spoken in Montreal, too. There's a ton of Algerians in Montreal, which is something a lot of people don't know.
Because wasn't Algeria a French colony?
It was, I believe, but that's not why. So anyway, there's a lot of immigrants in Montreal. There's a ton of culture there.
Because Algerians love poutine.
They do. They do.
Who doesn't?
I do. You know what? We're running horribly late on the show because that's how we go. But we'll do the top three things again another time.
Yeah, that was fun. Yeah.
Send in suggestions for top three.
Yeah, if you want.
I love that.
If you want to send in suggestions for the top three things for us, you can email us. NateDarlingShow@rocketmail.com is one place to do it. Or you can just send them to me, Nate@NateDarlingShow.com.
Yeah. I do something random that I think is funny.
Yes.
So Adam just texted me and said, hey, Adam, hi. He said, it's funny you guys call it a taping even though there's no tape. It's true, because you don't say pod, like, we're going to podcasting.
Well, we're going to record. I usually say tape.
Yeah, yeah. I usually say record.
Yeah, we're going to record a podcast. I said
I think Nate made fun of me once, actually, and now I say record the show.
Yeah, well, someone did that to me, too, and I was like, damn it, you're right, but I still am irritated, and then I'm like, now I know what Mel feels like.
Mm-hmm.
Aww. It's true. So, at the end of the show, we always do this little thing. It's called...
Small town news. Everybody loves that small town news.
Mm-hmm. Small town news brought to us this week by the Lady Business Improv Show.
Oh, big show this weekend.
And Saturday, you can see Mel and the other vagina toting performers at the Sacramento Comedy Spot at 8 p.m. Tickets are on sale. You can get them online at saccomedyspot.com. Get them for her show. Get them for a combo with them and ACL for a discounted deal. And the Comedy Spot now has beer, so... If you'd like to get blotto while watching Mel do improv, you can do that, too.
I'm much funnier when you're drunk.
Fair point. All right, so small town news. This is going right back to the Northeast Kingdom of Vermont, my home. Newport City. Headline, Newport City. An Irisburg woman who allegedly put her boyfriend in the hospital by clobbering his head with a metal lamp is facing a felony assault charge. Angel, name I'm not going to pronounce, also known as Angel Morse. She's known as Angel Morse. Of Irisburg pleaded not guilty May 8th in Orleans Superior Court Criminal Division to a felony count of first-degree aggravated domestic assault. She was released after posting a $1,000 deposit on her $10,000 bail. She was not allowed to contact her boyfriend, Francis Warner, and is subject to arrest without warrant if she violates conditions. So that's how things work. Now, according to Trooper Erica Lass's affidavit, hot lady cop. I don't know if she is or not.
Yeah, don't count on that.
She's a lady cop. police were notified of the assault by North Country Hospital, where Warner sought treatment. Warner told the trooper that his girlfriend had been drinking and was arguing with him when her nephew, Chester Dupree, arrived at the Creek Road residence with his girlfriend and her parents.
Jeez.
Following me? So,
wow.
Girlfriend's nephew's girlfriend, and her parents. That's okay. It's just crazy. So Warner asked Dupree and the others to leave, but they refused. Warner attempted to grab the beer from under the table to throw it outside the house. You don't want to do that to a redneck. You don't want to grab their beer and throw it out on the lawn.
Uh-uh.
That's when Dupree put him in a chokehold and threw him into the kitchen window. Warner told the trooper that he reached behind and put his thumb in Dupree's eye, refusing to stop until he let him go. Warner then went to call 911, but Dupree grabbed him in a bear hug from behind and threw him into the living room window, which broke.
Oh, my God.
Apparently, he bounced off the
first
one.
It's like the movie Roadhouse.
I know.
Yeah, it's quite trashy.
That's small town news, baby. And then the girlfriend grabbed the metal lamp and hit Warner in the head 4 or 5 times.
I think that's defense of another.
I'd take that case. No. She hit not her nephew. She hit her boyfriend who was being attacked by her nephew.
Oh.
Yeah.
So it's like a double bang.
Yeah.
I can't follow who was who.
The nephew had the boyfriend and was doing all this stuff to the boyfriend.
So she was just helping.
Yes, she was just helping her nephew beat up her boyfriend. Oh boy. it was just crazy. So her defense of this whole thing is that she was defending her nephew. She explained that she was scared that Francis was going to take out Chester's eye. And she explained that Francis had done the same thing to her, and she was scared that that Francis would cause permanent damage. So she's claiming that she...
In defense of another. I bet she's going to pull it off. I want to know how this case comes out.
Well, I don't know that we're going to follow it, but that is, in fact, small town news for this week, because I don't think it gets any better than that when the nephew's girlfriend and the girlfriend's parents all roll over and won't leave, and then end up beating you up because you tried to throw their beer out on the lawn.
Damn, I need a flow chart for this one.
I know, it's crazy.
It hurts my head a little bit.
It is, but that's small town news for this week, because that's how we roll here. Whew, big week this week, huh?
I'm tired.
Good times.
I've been at a conference all week. My brain's all full of knowledge.
It is. Well,
you look smarter.
I feel smarter.
It is a little bit.
And I'm fired up to go back to work and wreak some havoc and make some changes.
Nice.
That's what a conference is supposed to do.
Right?
That's better because last week Mel was in a mood to come in here and punch me.
Yeah.
Because she was just feisty.
I was.
She wasn't feisty for no good reason. And, well, maybe a good reason, but you weren't sharing it with us. So we didn't know what it was. Anyway, we, what is that? What am I listening to?
That's my Carmen song.
That's weird. Oh, I know, because it's playing a commercial.
Oh, yeah, Carmen's white, and there's no Nicki Minaj in it.
Well, I'm glad we cleared that up.
Yeah, sorry.
So that'll do it for this episode of the Nate Darling Show. Clearing things up and making a difference in your life.
I'm researching it when I get home.
I think you should. I really do. Let me know how it comes out for you. Because that's what we do. Hey, if you're going to shop Amazon.com anyway, please go to NateDarlingShow.com. Click the tab at the top of the page that says Shop Amazon through us and help to support the show without costing you a dime. So that's what we do here.
Amen, brother.
All right,
Word, girl.
So for my friend Larry...
Adios, amigos.
Hey, Larry, let's meet up later and we can do it.
I love fucking George Lopez.
And my friend Mel.
See you at Lady Business this weekend.
We're going to leave you with the song I've been listening to a lot. It's Against Me and Thrash Unreal. This is The Nate Darling Show.